Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Marque from The Marque Show. You hear me every weekday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk. First of all, thanks for listening to The Marque Show podcast. Second, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Burrish Daily Discussion podcast and Jacksonville's morning news interviews. And don't forget to head to iTunes and Google Play and leave a review. Thanks for listening.
Entertaining.
Never been so addicted to a show between 10 and 12.
Informative.
You call people out no matter what they are, and you hold them accountable. That's The Marque Show.
The first hour of The Marque Show starts now.
The liberal Democrats must have been reading the playbook wrong. It doesn't say to cause mask hysteria. It says cause mass hysteria.
That's what it is. They're screwing it all up. Is anyone else surprised? Is anyone else surprised that the Democrats can't read? The Democrats, not only can they not read, but they can't think, they can't speak. It's not just Joe Biden anymore, too. It's Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, speaking of mask hysteria. So here's what happened yesterday. Louie Gohmert from Texas tested positive. He went to the White House. And when you go to the White House and you go to see the president, they test you for the coronavirus because they don't want President Trump getting the coronavirus. And so they tested him. He was positive. So they tested him again. Two tests came back positive. Louis Gohmert has the coronavirus, and he's the one that said, I don't want to wear a mask. Well, now Nancy Pelosi is using this as an excuse to go to Congress and demand that everybody wear a mask. But she had some trouble with the verbiage.
The chair will take this occasion to make an announcement concerning the wearing of masks in the hall of the House during the coronavirus pandemic.
The cornrow? What was it? There's a cornrow pandemic?
During the coronavirus pandemic.
Cornrona.
The coronavirus pandemic. But that's typical. That's typical Nancy Pelosi. That was her gaffe of the day. And speaking of gaffes of the day, we'd be remiss if we didn't tell you what good old Joe Biden said. Now, keep in mind, I have no context for this. I don't know where he said it, who he was talking to, what the subject matter was, or why it came up. But I think it speaks for itself. Apparently, Joe Biden believes that it is the year 2040 because he said this yesterday.
But you know, in the 2020 census, which is now two censuses ago, soon to be.
Let me play that again for you.
But you know, in the 2020 census, which is now two censuses ago, soon to be.
Now, here's the deal. According to the Constitution of the United States, for those of you that are unfamiliar with it, or for those of you that haven't read it, or for you Democrats who just disregard it, in the Constitution, every 10 years, there's a required census of the entire population of the United States, a counting of the people. And this is done for several reasons. Number one, you want to know how many friggin' people live in your country, don't you? Number two, you can use it for redistricting. You can use it for deciding how many people should get representatives in a state. For example, New York, every single time there's a census, they lose representation. They've lost representatives, I mean, for the last, I think, like 50 years, whereas Florida has been gaining representatives. And with that, you get more electoral votes. You get more of a say in Congress. It's just, you know, the more people, the better. Also, when you're looking at fundages for, from federal funding for schools and whatnot, the more people you have, the more money you get. So you want to make sure that you can read all about it in the Constitution if you like. And it's every 10 years. So Joe Biden's talking about the 2020 census, which he believes was two censuses ago. So two censuses would be 20 years, which means he believes it's 2040.
But you know, in the 2020 census, which is now two censuses ago, soon to be.
Democrats, that's your guy. I ticked off three people in the building today because they heard me playing that quote. And they go, what's he saying? I go, hey, that's your guy. And Democrats are so quick to disassociate themselves from their leading candidate. It's so amazing to me. If you know any Democrats, just play this clip for them. Play any other gaffes that Joe Biden has had. Play, you know, the ridiculousness that is his press conference. Play, you know, anything Joe Biden related that is just abhorrent and comical and quizzical and makes you just nervous for the United States of America should this man ever be elected president. And then say to your Democratic friends, that's your guy. And you will not see somebody run away from somebody faster. That's not my guy. I didn't vote for that. That's not my guy. Well, that's your candidate. And that's what people don't understand. If you're registered as a Democrat, he's your guy. He's your man. That's your party's leader. That's the only shot you have at the presidency is Joe Biden. If you're a Republican, and there's plenty of Republicans who don't like Donald Trump. Mitt Romney, for example, is another one that we hear about all the time. But there's plenty of them out there. And the Bushes hate Donald Trump. Colin Powell, not a big fan. He's going to be supporting Biden in this election. There are tons of Republicans that don't like Donald Trump either. But if you're a Republican, that's your guy. If you're a Republican, Donald Trump is the leader of your party. He's the leader of the free world currently, too. And he's going to be your choice come November 3rd. Or wait a minute. It may not. I'm sorry. That's the other breaking news today. It may not be November 3rd. Donald Trump has now officially floated the idea of maybe postponing the election. Donald Trump has floated, and I'll tell you what, man, you want to talk about breaking news and heads exploding all over the media. This was at 8:46 a.m. today. This was right, and this was planned. Don't think that this wasn't planned. Donald Trump knows 9 a.m., everybody's getting into their little, you know, CNN alcoves, people are coming to work, the New York Times offices are opening. This is when people really start their day. 9 a.m. is when all the media starts to rumble and bumble and mumble and blumble, and they start to get going. Well, at 8:46 a.m., he tweets out the following. With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Doesn't say he's delaying the election. Doesn't say the election should be delayed. Poses a question. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? And man, it threw everybody's days off. Just totally off kilter. Everybody's off their axis today. And this is the thing that people don't realize. Donald Trump holds all the power. I watched this whole thing with Facebook and Google and Amazon and Tim Cook from Apple. I watched them all yesterday in front of Congress being grilled by Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan, who, by the way, Jim Jordan, if he has not yet been given a Congressional Medal of Honor, the man should be the next in line, because he is really out there fighting almost, it seems almost like a one-man battle. It seems like he is fighting a one-man battle against socialism in the Democratic Party. It seems like he is the one lone voice out there who consistently, first of all, he's on every committee. I don't know how he did it, but he managed to weasel his way onto every single committee. And he is out there just hammering people. I mean, just literally hammering people. He does not give a crap. He knows his job is to protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States. He knows his job is to protect and uphold the laws that protect the people in Ohio who put him in office. And thank God for those people in Ohio, because he's really helping the rest of us, too. But Jim Jordan is out there hammering away at these tech giants. And what nobody understands is it doesn't matter what algorithm Google puts out there. It doesn't matter what Twitter decides to censor or not censor. It doesn't matter if Twitch shuts down the president's account for 14 days because they didn't like something he live streamed in a press conference. It doesn't matter about any of that, because the person who is in charge of social media, print media, television media, radio media, the person who is in charge of water cooler talk in this country, the one person who controls the narrative of every single news organization in the entire world is the president of the United States. Because despite Facebook's iron grip on your news feed and despite Google's control of every single search in this entire universe, Donald Trump, with one tweet, with one question, delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote, has made every other piece of content, every other piece of information, every other news headline that they had planned for today totally, totally redundant, unimportant, and forgotten. So Yeah, these tech giants have a monopoly on social media, but Donald Trump still controls the content on every single platform. 855-765-1045. We got to take a quick break. We are going to bring you some of the Jim Jordan highlights from the tech tech bashing yesterday on the Hill. Also, we've got some What the Bleep today, which is very exciting. We got a bunch of people already lined up talking about hydroxychloroquine and going back to school. And, oh, there could be a teacher strike here in Florida and also in Texas and also in other states. We'll get to all that and more. Quick break. The Markay Show. We're just warming up. It's 104.5 WOKV. We'll be right back. My name is Mark Kay. Thanks so much for joining us today, folks. 855-765-1045 if you're trying to get through. All right, good news, bad news. The bad news is there's like a tropical storm headed this way for the weekend. The worst news is we're going to be interrupted here in about 10 minutes by the mayor who wants to tell you to go buy water and tarps and things, which, you know, I guess is important. So we'll take that here live in just a minute. First, though, I do want to get to these Jim Jordan. First, oh, by the way, Donald Trump. And again, I mentioned this earlier today at 8:30 this morning, approximately, Donald Trump tweeted out a tweet about mail-in voting. And how it could be inaccurate. It could be the most inaccurate we've ever seen. It could prove this election to be the most fraudulent and also litigious, because don't think that there's not going to be lawsuits everywhere. It's going to be 2000 times 20 if the mail-in votes don't get in on time, or if we have to wait weeks to count all the ballots and that kind of thing and yada, yada, yada. Plus, it's going to probably destroy the USPS. The United States Postal Service will not be able to recover from any kind of election meddling or fraud or problem with the ballots. There was a great segment that aired in New York City. This guy, one of these reporters, he took 100 mail-in ballots and he rented a P.O. box, and he put 100 ballots in the mail, all addressed to his P.O. box. They got delivered, but only 97 of them of the 100 ever made it to the mailbox. And it took him about a day and a half to find them, because when he initially went to the mailbox, they didn't have any of them. He had to talk to a manager. They had to search. They finally were able to recover 97 out of 100 votes. So three people in his fake experiment, or in his real experiment about with this fake ballot, three people were disenfranchised. Their votes not counted. And you're thinking, all right, well, 3 out of 100, that's not bad. Well, if you look at a million, all right, it's no, what's 3% of a million? 30,000. So that's a big difference. If you look at how many people voted in the last election, over 100 million, I mean, that's a ridiculous amount. That is not acceptable. The only acceptable way to vote, if you're not an absentee, is to walk down to your polling place, fill out your ballot, stick it in the machine, get your sticker, and walk away. And whether mail-in voting is allowed or not, I'm telling you, it's in your best interest to not do it. It's not been proven effective. It's not been proven safe. And in fact, there's people out there right now disproving it. And the president is saying, if we can't make sure that ballots are counted correctly, we may have to delay the election so that people can properly, securely, and safely vote. Democrats totally up in arms. The media, heads exploding all over New York City and California and Washington and Atlanta and wherever else these people broadcast from. They can't even deal with it. They just cannot even deal with it, because they want this election to happen. They want mail-in voting. They want to be able to perpetrate the fraud. And here's what people don't understand, and I don't know why Democrats don't understand this either. Think about this. 100 ballots, 3 of them don't make it. Those 3 votes could be Biden voters. Those 3 votes could be Biden voters, which would give Donald Trump an edge, which means out of a million votes cast, 30,000 Biden votes, poof, could disappear. And when you're looking at some swing states where, if you believe any of these bogus polls, it's so close, it's neck and neck, it's half a point between the president of the United States and the Democratic nominee. If you believe those polls, then you're going to sit and think to yourself, wow, 30,000 votes could swing the election and change history. And Donald Trump is trying to make sure that every American's vote is counted. I mean, think about it. Every American's vote should be counted. He's not saying, let's delay the election so Republican votes can be properly, securely, and safely counted. No, he's saying so that all votes in the United States can be properly, securely, and safely counted. 855-765-1045. All right, we're going to have to pause for this press conference. Hopefully it won't be too long. Hopefully it won't be too long, but we'll be back. We're going to take the Mayor Curry press conference about the coming tropical storm this weekend here in just a minute. Then what we'll do is we'll get back to some of your phone calls. I've got Jim Jordan versus Big Tech. We've got some What the Bleep coming up here in just a minute. It's the Markay Show. Stay tuned to 104.5 WOKV. We'll be back. You've been listening live to Mayor Lenny Curry with a press conference about Tropical Storm Isaias and also some questions there about COVID-19 and the coronavirus response. During the mayor's press conference, we have some really heartbreaking and horrible news that came through from Herman Cain's Instagram account and his social media accounts that after his battle with COVID-19 and after being hospitalized for coronavirus, he has passed away this morning. And we're just getting through this now. We just found out the information while we were watching the mayor's press conference. And we do have a story up on WOKV.com, which we'll share with you here in just a minute. Just as you guys know, Herman Cain and I, great friends for years. And this was his time slot. This was his time, his show, before I ever even dreamt about doing this. So we're going to take a minute. We have to take another quick break, but we will tell you more about the passing of Herman Cain, which we learned about here just moments ago. Quick break. More of the Markay Show coming up. Don't go anywhere. 855-765-1045. Like I said, quick break. We'll be right back on 104.5 WOKV. This is the Markay Show. My name is Markay. Thanks so much for joining us today, folks. 855-765-1045. Man, what a horrible, horrible, tragic day. We just found out news that our good friend Herman Cain, formerly of the Herman Cain Show here on 104.5 WOKV, passed away from his COVID-19 symptoms. And for those of you that don't know, Herman Cain, to say he was a radio host would be a gross understatement, because the guy, first of all, was a huge icon in the business world that brought Godfather's Pizza back from the brink of bankruptcy and really used a lot of the same economic policies that Donald Trump uses to boost our economy, to boost that particular business entity, and became a leader for restaurateurs around the country. And if you ever ate a meal with the guy at a restaurant, you know that he was tough on restaurateurs. He had some high standards and he wanted everyone to live up to him. And then later on, he started to break into politics, and he hosted a show on WSB in Atlanta, which after Neil Bortz retired was, he grabbed the reins and he ran with it, and he did an amazing job. He ran for president. You may remember in 2012, and had a great 999 plan, had a great showing in the primaries, was at one point, one of the top three contenders for the nomination, which eventually went to Mitt Romney. And unfortunately, because of some media lies and because of a media takedown, he was forced to withdraw because, the legal fees are just exorbitant. And that's when he went back to broadcasting and started to make his name as a broadcaster, not only again with his own show, but with many appearances on Fox News. He just recently, and this is super sad because we announced earlier this week that we have a new show starting on Newsmax this Saturday. Herman Cain also launched a brand new show on Newsmax TV just a few weeks ago. His career was not over. It was just picking up. And he aired one episode, was admitted to the hospital after coming back from Tulsa, and as we learned today, is no longer with us. He's passed on. So he was working till the end. He was smiling to the end. He was helping to the end, and he was fighting for America to the end. It's really, like, you want to talk about a patriot? This guy was a patriot. I mean, he fought not only for businesses and economic security for all. He fought not only for your rights. He fought not only for African Americans. And this is the one thing Herman Cain would always tell me. He would always tell me black Republicans are really Republicans, because if you're black and you're a Republican, you really, really believe what you're saying, because the animosity toward you, the anger toward you, the angst, the ridicule, the never ending attacks, not just from the media, not just from Democrats, but from your own family and friends, people that you've known your entire life, just blaspheming you for your political beliefs because you're black and a Republican. So he said, look, Respect black Republicans because they are they really want to be Republican. They really believe it. They're not giving in to the mob. And he was one of the most successful African American businessmen and politicians that I've ever had the honor of working with. And speaking of working with, I would not be here today. I 100% believe it. If it weren't for Herman Cain, his show was the first radio talk show that I was invited to host when he was on vacation. You know, everyone's like, oh, when you go on vacation, you play these reruns or whatever. Most people have fill-in hosts. And, you know, I was honored when he asked me to come and fill in for him. It was years ago. It was in December. He was off for Christmas. And he invited me to WSB in Atlanta. And I flew up there, and they put me up at a swanky hotel, and they gave me a tour of the radio station, and I walked in, and he was gone. He wasn't there. I didn't even get to meet the guy. I never met Herman Cain before I filled in for him on his show. I guess somebody gave him a tape of me or said, why don't we have this, you know, this bald guy do it from Jacksonville, and I never met the guy. But I went into the studio, and I started to do his show. And we talked, and we had people were calling in, and we were joking, and we were having a good time. And you want to talk about 3 hours flying by. The first time I ever filled in for Herman Cain on the Herman Cain Show, 3 hours, blink of an eye, and it was over. And the boss, the program director, WSB, walked in. He was like, great job. You did an awesome job. Way to go. And his cell phone rings. And he looks at it, and he goes, uh-oh. And he goes, it's for you. Hands it to me, and I see on his phone it says, Herman Cain. Now, keep in mind, never met the guy, never spoke to him, just got done filling in on his show for the first time. And now he's on the phone literally minutes after I turned off the microphone. And I answer, I go, hello. And this big booming voice on the other end goes, is this Mark Kay? And I said, yes, it is. Is this Herman Cain? And he said, yes, you did a good job today. And I was shocked because I was under the impression he was on vacation, which is, and not sitting at home listening. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't know that you were listening to the show. I thought you were on vacation. He goes, oh, I didn't listen to the show. I'm in Vegas. My wife called me. She thinks you're funny. And I was like, oh, great. I'm in with Mrs. Cain. And that led to a long relationship, both personally and professionally, with Herman Cain. And again, this show, everything that we do today, we couldn't do if it weren't for him doing it first and allowing us to do it when we had the opportunity. So we are going to miss him terribly. And we will be talking about him probably a lot more. If you missed the sad news, Herman Cain passed away today. Did not recover from his coronavirus symptoms that he came down with just a couple weeks ago. Quick break. More traffic, weather, news coming up. More of your phone calls. We'll get some open mics. 855-765-1045. This is the Markay Show on 104.5 WOKV.
Entertaining. Never been so addicted to a show between 10 and 12.
Informative.
You call people out no matter what they are, and you hold them accountable. That's the Markay Show.
This is the Markay Show.
I want your listeners and fans to be the first to know, starting Monday.
What date is that?
June the 20th.
Yeah.
Starting Monday, June 20th, while Jamie's on vacation, we love him to death, Mark is going to be on the Herman Cain Show at the top of the second hour of the show as a five-day trial period. If he doesn't screw it up, we might make him a regular. No pressure. But starting Monday, June 20th, Mark Kay will be a regular guest on the Herman Cain Show. And if you hadn't gotten the memo yet, my middle name is Herman. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. Herman Cain, that was from, God, that was from 2016. Jamie Dupree was on hiatus because of his issues, and he could no longer do the top of the hour, the top of the, whatever it was he did with Herman Cain. So Herman invited me on every week, and we had way too much fun. If you think this show's fun, whenever Herman and I got together to talk about anything, it was a blast. And we have some clips from his appearances on this show, which we'll get together maybe for tomorrow and do a real tribute to the guy. But we found out this morning that he passed away. He wasn't able to battle the coronavirus and the COVID-19. We thought for a while there he was going to come out of it. I mean, look, you want to talk about a strong guy battling backstage for cancer, coming back for a lucrative career after that diagnosis and after that treatment. Being a political icon, a broadcasting icon, a business icon, touching lives of so many people. And as you heard right there, really giving me my shot in talk radio. Before this, you know, if you're a new listener, this was Herman Cain's time slot. And when he stepped away from the microphone, when he moved on, they had an opening. And because of what I was able to do with him on his show, they gave it to me. So, again, we owe him pretty much everything here. And we are just heartbroken to hear that. That video, by the way, was taken from that was I was asked to come back to Atlanta to meet with Herman. And I flew in, and the guy that was in charge of the radio station at the time, a guy named Pete Spriggs, looks exactly like me, only 20 years older. So he's just as pale, just as bald, you know, nose is just as large. Literally, if you age, put me through one of those, like, age filters, I would look like Pete Spriggs. So Pete picks me up at the airport. He goes, all right, well, we're going to go meet Herman at his country club. First, we're going to go to his office, and then we're going to go to his country club for lunch. And Herman designed the perfect life, man. The man, first of all, loved life, loved people, and he designed the perfect existence for himself. He had a beautiful house in Atlanta, in suburban Atlanta, in a country club, and right outside the gate was an office park, and he put his office right there. So his commute to work was all of about 35 seconds. He would work on his morning show, and then he could go right back to the country club for lunch. So we went to his office. We toured. We got to see his facility. We got to see him do the show. We met his amazing staff. His daughter was working with him at the time. She was great. And then we go to this country club for lunch. We're hanging out in the parking lot, and he were asking questions. And we recorded that clip that you just heard about the big announcement. And as we're walking into the door, We're walking up this, and this is a ritzy. I mean, this is, you know, country clubs here in Jacksonville are nice. Country clubs in Atlanta are like palaces. And we were walking up to the door, and it's me and Pete Spriggs, and Herman Cain's leading us. And he gets to the front door of the country club. And before he opens the door, before he puts his hand on it, he stops. He turns around, and he gets this really straight-faced look, like, in his eyes, and really solemn. And he goes, now listen, I want you two to know something. I don't bring a lot of white people in here, so don't embarrass me. And then we walked in, and we sat down, and we had lunch. And having lunch with Herman Cain, you better have some time on your hands, because everybody knows who he is. Everybody wants to come up and say hello. Everybody wants to take a picture, and Herman will talk to everybody. When we were at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, we were broadcasting from the Republican National Convention. Again, his show started at 9 o'clock. And we had to make sure that Herman Cain was there at least an hour early, because to get from the first floor of the media center up to the second floor and down to the end of the building where he broadcast from took about 45 minutes, because everybody there wanted to stop and say hi to Herman. Everyone wanted to shake Herman's hand. Everyone wanted a selfie with Herman. Everyone wanted to tell Herman how much they loved him. We were downtown. He was here in Jacksonville a couple of years ago doing a live event, and we went to dinner downtown at the Omni. And we're sitting there at the Omni, and this young gentleman comes up. He goes, Mr. Cain, I'm an attorney, and I love you, and my mother's a big fan, and she's the reason why I got into politics. And he goes, well, what do you do here? And it turns out he was on the defense team for Corinne Brown. And I go, oh, I don't know if you should be taking pictures with Herman Cain. He's like, no, it's fine. But it just sat and talked to everybody. Was just, again, truly, truly an amazing guy. One of the most amazing experiences was when we were in this country club for lunch. Herman's giving me a tour. And he's like, and this is my favorite table. And this is my favorite waitress. And the soup here is amazing. And he points to this door on the side. He goes, and that room right there is where I announced I was running for president. Oh, and then you got to try the biscuits. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. He just breezed over, because you don't often hear somebody say that. It's, you know, I can count on one finger the number of times someone's actually said to me, that's the place where I decided to run for president. And that's what Herman Cain did. He decided to do something, and he did it. And in this past year alone, we've had him on the show for a couple times. One of the times we had him on the show was because he decided to produce a documentary about his life. And he had it produced. He had it edited. He had a theatrical release in Atlanta. He had another theatrical release on the West Coast. But I know what you're thinking. Oh, West Coast. It must have been a Hollywood premiere. No, it was a Las Vegas premiere. Because to Herman Cain, the only city worth visiting on the West Coast of the country was Las Vegas. And he visited it quite often. 855-765-1045. It was truly just an exciting time and experience to be able to talk to him and hang out with him and learn so much from him, you know, and he opened a lot of doors, like I said, for me and for a lot of people. And he's going to be missed. And every time he was on the show, you know, I'm kind of actually going to miss him joking about me and my kids and the KKK joke, which every single time, you know, it's one of those. It's like your grandpa who tells you the same joke over and over again. And you're like, you know, it's coming and there's nothing you can do to stop it. You know, I'm going to miss that. We're going to have to find audio of that so we can play it over and over again. 855-765-1045. We're going to take another quick break. We have more of your phone calls coming up here in just a minute. We have a bunch of open mics. I know a lot of people want to talk about Herman, share some of their memories, and we'll get to some of your phone calls as well. I'm going to be honest with you. We'll probably push off what the bleep today. Just doesn't seem appropriate. And we will try to get to some more of this audio clips. I do want you to hear what Jim Jordan said about the big tech companies. I think that's important. And there's a couple of other clips about Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi that we need to get in there as well. So stay tuned. Keep calling. Keep sending in your open mic messages. This is the Mark Kay Show. Quick break. We'll be right back on 104.5 WOKV.
A rumor, you were here.
Well, it is no longer a rumor.
I'm Mark. I've filled in on your show.
Does he work here? Oh, that Mark. All right.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, Mark.
And no one ever listens.
I've heard your voice, but I've never seen him in person, folks. He's got a great face for radio.
Who's talking.
I hear good things about when you substitute for me. You're going to be doing it coming up pretty soon, aren't you?
February.
That's good. That's close enough.
New Hampshire primary tomorrow, right?
Yep.
All right, who's going to win?
That will be a top tier and a bottom tier.
All right, who's going to be on the top tier?
Trump will be in the top tier.
Okay.
I believe that Rubio will be in the top tier.
Got it.
The third one in the top tier. We're not sure yet because a lot of people have spent a lot of money up there.
Yeah.
It's going to change the rankings a little bit.
It's going to change the rankings. Okay.
Yeah.
New book is called
The Right Problems for every presidential candidate and every member of Congress ought to be working at. And I just happen to have one here to put in the frame.
Hillary, is she going to jail?
I hope so. If the FBI does their job and the Justice Department do their job, she's going to jail.
That's the really exciting thing about working in radio. You never really know who's going to stop by the radio station. Today it was Herman Cain. Tomorrow it could be, I don't know, somebody else.
Yeah, I wasn't as skilled back then as I am today. But that was it. That was Herman Cain, one of our first interactions when he was here in Jacksonville. And we just had so much opportunity to hang out with that guy. And God, what a great, you can hear there. The clip was basically like 45% talking and 55% laughter. And that's how it was. That's how it was with Herman Cain. We learned, of course, today about his passing. And that is just terrible, terrible. Another one of my favorite Herman Cain stories. And I apologize that we're neglecting the news, but yeah, it doesn't matter. When we were at the convention, because again, we spent the entire week broadcasting live at the convention, which was such a treat. And one of the things that they did, for those of you that don't remember, in Cleveland, what they did was, where the convention was held, they took the entire parking garage. There was like a four-story parking garage. And what they had to do was, because they didn't have a media center, the arena where the Cavaliers played was being used for all the events and all the delegates and everything else. So they spent about $2 million converting a parking garage into a media center. And they did an amazing job. They carpeted the park, like where we were broadcasting. If you ripped up the carpet, we would have been in LeBron James's parking spot. Apparently, that's where he put his Bentley or his Lamborghini or whatever he drove. And we had these little booths everywhere. They had free coffee for everyone the entire week, free breakfast. It was air conditioned. They got this parking garage somehow sealed off, and they pumped in cold air the entire time, because without it, we would have been sweating our butts off. And everyone had a little cubicle, and you know, this was pre-COVID days, so the only thing that separated you from the cubicle next to you was a curtain. And when you're as loud as I am, and when you're as loud as Herman Cain, and neither one of us are whisperers. We're both pretty loud people. If we whisper, you can hear it three doors down. And so we're broadcasting one day, and we happen to be in the booth next to Meghan McCain, who, before she was on The View, had a radio show. She hosted, it was called America, American Now or America. I don't even know. That's how much I didn't listen to it. But Meghan McCain was broadcasting from the booth next to us. And Herman Cain and I were doing what you just heard. We were talking about the convention. We were telling stories. He was saying, now you know this. And I go, I know that. And he was like, shucky-ducky. And we're just like having a blast, having a great time. Everyone around us is laughing. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And that is entertaining people listening. Well, somebody who was not entertained was Meghan McCain, because she was trying to broadcast next to us, and all she could hear, and I guess all her listeners could hear, was Herman Cain laughing hysterically and me yelling in the background. So she had some guy that worked with some producer or whatever, and I guess he didn't know who Herman Cain was, or I guess he didn't really understand what was going on. He pulls this curtain that separates us. He pulls this curtain while we're live on the air, and he goes, excuse me. We're trying to, Meghan McCain is trying to broadcast here. Could you please those, excuse me. We're trying to, Meghan McCain is trying to broadcast here. Could you please keep it down? And then he leaves and he draws a curtain. And Herman looks at me and I look at Herman and Herman goes, who the hell is that guy? And it was probably the loudest thing I've ever heard him say. So I know that all Meghan McCain's. But after that, we never saw her again. I'm pretty sure she asked to be moved from that booth because she couldn't deal with it. 855-765-1045 is the number. This is Nate in Middleburg. Hi, Nate. How are you? Thanks for calling the Marque Show.
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's up, Nate? What did you want to say, sir?
This is not news and not welcome at all. It breaks my heart that Herman passed before I could have met him.
Yeah.
I was hoping that the RNC would have been in Jacksonville, so I would have had a chance to meet him at least.
We were talking about, and in fact, the last time we spoke, that was one of the things we talked about was the RNC, and he was so gung-ho about coming down here for that. He was so gung-ho for campaigning for President Trump. And, you know, I've already seen the headlines. I've already seen the media spinning it saying, you know, Herman Cain goes to the Tulsa rally, gets coronavirus. And you know, pretty soon they're going to be blaming this on the president. But know this, Herman Cain was his own man. Herman Cain was an adult. Herman Cain made his own decisions. Herman Cain was his entire life doing things that he wanted to do the way he wanted to do it. And he wanted Donald Trump to be president, and he wanted Donald Trump to be reelected. He knew that this country needed Donald Trump in charge, not just for 4 years, but for four more. And that's why he went to Tulsa. That's why he would have come to Jacksonville. That's why he would have gone to Atlanta or Orlando or Washington or Connecticut or Texas or Ohio or Minnesota or Michigan or anywhere that he thought he could have made a difference and where he thought he could have helped this country. Because that's all he ever wanted to do his entire life. And we're all better for it. Every single one of us. 855-765-1045. Quick break. More of your phone calls. We got a bunch of open mic messages we got to get to. This is The Marque Show on 104.5 WOKV.
Entertaining. Never been so addicted to a show between 10 and 12.
Informative.
You call people out no matter what they are, and you hold them accountable. That's The Marque Show.
This is The Marque Show.
This sounds like a shucky-ducky kind of crowd on a shucky-ducky kind of day here to support an shucky-ducky kind of candidate.
That was Herman Cain in 2016 stumping for President Donald Trump, then, I guess, candidate Donald Trump, and it worked.
Hey, Mark, I don't know if you heard. I haven't heard it on your show, but I just got a notice from Newsmax that Herman Cain died. And I don't know if you heard yet, but it's very upsetting for me. He's been in my prayers.
Yeah, we got that notice a little earlier today. We sent out a push notification in our 104.5 WOKV mobile app, which if you haven't downloaded, definitely do, because you'll be the first one to get news. Sad, important, and otherwise.
So sad to hear that Herman Cain has passed away. I remember watching him on YouTube and seeing his show and hearing the sense of humor and the kind of stuff that he would talk about. It was always encouraging. And that's how I found the Marque Show, is through him. I remember when Mark used to be filling in for when Herman Cain was gone. So I'm thankful for the memories, Herman, and I'm glad that Mark is here to carry on the mantle for you.
You know, and the one thing about Herman Cain was when I got my own show, I wanted him to be on, and I always wondered. I go, God, will he actually come on my show? Seeing as how he had his own show when I was, is that like weird? He loved it. It was his. Every time I wrote him, it didn't matter. He was like, I'll be there, whatever you want. I was like, hey, Herman, we got to talk about racism. I'm your guy. We got to talk about voter fraud. You tell me when. He loved what he did. He loved broadcasting. He loved talking to people live, in person, on television, and, of course, on the radio.
It is a sad day in their talk radio show time today. Good luck, brother.
Yeah, it really is. And, man, I just wish the thing I'm going to miss most, not just the laughter and, you know, the mentorship, but I just am going to miss him talking about this election. That as we enter these last few hundred days, as it really starts to ramp up, you know, and I was thinking just yesterday, I was thinking, man, I didn't even think about that. You know, I knew he was in the hospital. I knew he wasn't doing exceptionally well. I knew it was an uphill battle. But when we were talking about Kamala Harris and Val Demings and Joe Biden pandering to the Black Lives Matter crowd with his top tier candidates, you know, I was like, God, you know what? I can't wait till Joe Biden picks his VP. Because if it's an African American woman, or if it's a non-African American woman, the first person I'm going to talk to is Herman Cain and get his opinion. And that's what's really sad, is that we won't have his opinion. You know, his opinion was so important and so well thought out. He was a political genius. Economically, he knew, you know, the 999 plan, which he put together, right up there with the fair tax that Neil Bortz put together. I mean, these are just not cool catchphrases or book titles or, you know, ways to get publicity. These are actual legitimate economic plans that can not just help the United States of America, but, I mean, reverse any kind of negative economic impact we've had from anything. And you know, it's not just that he was a great man and a great friend and a great orator. He was a great thinker. And we need probably a lot more of those. We need probably a lot more of those these days in politics, especially when you see, you know, one of our candidates says this.
But, you know, in the 2020 census, which is now two censuses ago, soon to be.
Yeah, soon to be. It's 2040. Is that what that would make it? 855-765-1045.
Hey, Mark, I just heard about the loss of your friend. I'm in shock and just can't believe it. I'm so sorry.
And I appreciate that. And here's the thing. It's everybody's loss, as we just said. And Brian is in Cape Coral. And Brian had an experience with Herman Cain as well. Hi, Brian. How are you? Thanks for calling the Mark Cain Show.
Good. Thank you. No, I had the luxury of meeting Mr. Cain back in a Tea Party rally in 2009.
Yeah.
It was just an amazing first experience with a gentleman who at the time I knew was, you know, being praised by the father of supply side economics, Arthur Laffer, with his 999 proposal.
Yeah.
So you're right. It was a very serious proposal, along with Neil Bortz's proposals. But, you know, these are the people poking into the ribs of the IRS. And, you know, so it is a huge loss for this country. And unfortunately, you know, he joins to me the ranks of people like William Buckley Jr., Andrew Breitbart. You know, these are just Americans who have passed now that, you know, really changed the course of our country, I think, for the better. So he's certainly going to be missed.
No, he certainly will be, and influenced so many people, as you just said, in all walks of life. And everyone who met him, and not one person ever met Herman Cain and complained about it. Not one. I mean, he was the kind of guy that would stop and he would talk to you and he would take pictures and he would get to know you and he would ask your name. In fact, Jeremy Ratliff. I don't know if he's here. Maybe you can tell the story. But Jeremy Ratliff, when he was program director at another radio station, had to do this big event with Herman Cain. He was flying into town, and Herman Cain, you know, he was on his own. He was never in a hurry. He was on his own time. He knew everything was going to be all right. You know, nothing was too crucial. And I guess the broadcast started at 9 o'clock, and he rolls into the radio station at like 8:45, 8:50, and there's a bunch of people there, and he's walking into the lobby and he's saying hello, and the clock's ticking, and they're like, they're literally 5 minutes away, and Jeremy runs in and grabs Herman Cain and says, Mr. Cain, my name's Jeremy Ratliff. How you doing? And I need to get you back here because we're going to go live in 5 minutes. And Herman Cain just looks at him and goes, what was your name again? And just like, hi, nice to meet you. Never stressed about anything at all. And, you know, working with him and his crew, whatever that was. Shaney B, another great, I mean, as I talk, these stories just kind of pop into my head. So forgive me if they're disjointed. But when one time they were flying to Jacksonville, and I met him out there, I think it was for lunch or dinner or something. And Herman just looked annoyed. And Shaney B just was not, they were not talking. And I go, so I'm like, how's it going? And they're like, fine. And I go, did something wrong? And Herman Cain looks at me and goes, do you know what Shaney B did to me? And I was like, well, no, I just walked in the door. So no, I don't. Why don't you tell me? And he goes, he looks at Shaney B, goes, why don't you tell him what you did to me on the plane? So, Herman Cain, you know, because he's a former presidential candidate and because he's more important than anyone, flies first class, and anyone else on his staff, they do not have a contractual obligation to fly first class. They sit in the back. So Herman Cain and Shaney B would fly around together. Herman would get a first class seat. Shaney B would sit in the back. Well, on this particular flight, I guess Shaney B was annoyed with something. It was during the election. Herman Cain gets down. He sits in his seat. He's ready for a nice, relaxing flight to Jacksonville from Atlanta. And Shaney B comes on after because the first class people get to sit down first. If you've never flown first class gets to sit down first. They get a drink while you're loading on all your crap and everyone else goes later. So Herman's sitting in his seat. Finally, Shaney B gets ushered on the plane and he's walking by and he knows Herman's probably like tired and just wants to be left alone. And he looks at Herman in first class and he says as loud as he can, he holds out his hand to shake Herman's and he holds out his hand and he says, Dr. Ben Carson, I just wanted to tell you I'm a huge fan. And he walks away and everyone in first class turns around and looks at Herman and goes, are you Dr. Ben Carson? He goes, I am not Dr. Ben Carson. And it ruined his whole flight. Shaney B was so proud of himself. But again, that's just the those are just the kind of memories, that pop up. Eric in Edgewater. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Well, I'm a little down today, Mark.
Yeah.
I've had the privilege to tell Herman Shucky Ducky several times on this show. And, I'm kind of devastated.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'm going to do when Rush leaves us. But well, one thing about this blood on Trump's hands, I'll bet my paycheck that if they didn't outlaw or make a hydroxychloroquine such a bad thing, it might have saved Herman's life. So let's put the blood back on Fauci's hands and all these hydroxychloroquine deniers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and look, and I don't know, and I appreciate your call, and I know that a lot of people are devastated and angry and hurt today. I don't know what his treatment was. I don't know what happened with him. You know, I do know that he was 74. He was older. He'd already suffered and beaten back stage four cancer, which, I mean, that in and of itself is a heroic battle to undergo. But I don't know. You know, you don't know what that does to somebody's system. So, you know, it may have been that it was just too much for his body to take, or it may have been, you know, something else. But nobody's to blame in these situations because, once again, Herman Cain was an adult. He was his own man and his entire life. He never let anyone else make decisions for him. He made his own decisions. And I know that he would have been nowhere else in the world than at that Tulsa rally, despite what TMZ or what other people are saying. Mike in Green Cove Springs. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing just fine, Mark. I just want to say one thing, and that would be Herman Cain, rest in peace, Shucky Ducky.
That's exactly what I should. You know, if no one says that at his funeral, I will be personally offended. 855-765-1045. Quick break. We got more of the Markay Show coming up here. More of your phone calls, more open mic messages too. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So sad to hear about Herman Cain. He was a awesome person, a great representative for us. And
I was never a talk news radio person until I started listening to Herman Cain. Rest in peace, Herman.
He say, Shannon B, go get Lisa. No, not that Lisa. Lisa, Lisa. Or was it Lisa, Lisa, Lisa? Just Lisa.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Herman Cain. We're going to miss you. I'm going to pour a beer out for you later. Thank you for all you did.
That's awesome. All he was a Scotchman, though. I think Crown Royal would be Crown Royal on ice. Any time of day. It doesn't matter. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. That's the breakfast. That's the drink of champions. 855-765-1045. I was just scrolling through Twitter, and then I got so disgusted by people. Half of the tweets are condolences and people sharing their fond Herman Cain memories, and the rest of the tweets are the left telling everyone that Donald Trump has killed Herman Cain, and that Herman Cain. I mean, I really can't. I rarely respond to people that are just so gross, but I've been responding to people because there's Mika Brzezinski is probably the grossest of the gross. I'm not going to read her tweet, but if you want to, you know where to find it. 855-765-1045. This is Deborah in Jacksonville. Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Thank you so much for taking my call. It's a great day. It was funny talking to someone. I said, what else is wrong today? And it breaks my heart.
Yeah,
but we've met him at the Presidential Five in Orlando in 2012. And everybody was a buzz because they normally go through whoever's the leader. Perry was there, Romney was there, and whatever. So everybody was buzzing. They said, well, everybody likes Herman Cain, why don't we just vote for him?
So he
won the straw poll.
Yeah.
Then the press came out about the sexual harassment, but on the other part, he was filling in for Neil Bork. And so when Obama got elected, he said, and I called into his radio show, they said, well, what are you going to do tonight, you know, with his, you know, his speech or whatever he was doing? And I said, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and get gifted hands and watch Ben Carson.
Yeah. Yeah, no, his election was it was a great thing to watch. His debate performances were amazing. And he rose, that straw poll was part of it. His 999 plan was part of it. His debate performances really elevated him, and he became a household name because of that presidential election. And had it not been for the media trying to tear down, I mean, think about this. He's a black conservative, which is something the media hates even more than white conservatives. You know, they just couldn't handle it. And so they went after him. They attacked him. And again, he was very honest with us when we spoke about it. He said, look, I looked at my coffers. I looked at how much money I had, because he had to basically make sure that he was financing his own campaign. He didn't have a lot of campaign donations. He didn't have the RNC behind him at that time. He said, I had to look at my coffers. And we sat down and we looked at the budget. We needed this much to run the campaign. And when the left started coming after me, we needed this much to fight the legal battle. And he said it would have bankrupted him. So it wasn't that he didn't want to serve his country. It's that, you know, the left sent their attack dogs after him, and he would have had to spend every single dime that he had to fight them off. And that's not what politics should be about. Unfortunately, you know, that's what happened. Fortunately for us, he had a great career as a broadcaster, though, and fought the good fight, as many of us do, by preaching the good book of conservatism, and not going to Washington and bastardizing it. 855-765-1045. This is Greg in Missouri. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. First time caller.
Oh, thanks for calling, Greg.
Sir, Shucky Ducky Herman, rest in peace, please. One thing, I saw a commercial of...
Okay, bye. Aaron from Orange Park. How are you, Aaron?
Hey, how's it going, sir?
Hey, good. What'd you want to say, Aaron?
Good. Well, I mean, I'm only 27, and I haven't really heard that much of Herman Cain, but I do know one thing. When I first started driving my own car, the first channel I ever had was 104.5, and Herman Cain was on there, and I'm sitting there looking, like, I'm thinking, I'm like, man, he's my first black grandpa. You know?
Yeah.
I just love the guy. But, you know, it definitely is unfortunate. I know he's one more added to the kingdom, but I will say this. You know, the left just needs to shut up. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be that critical, but they need to shut up, because not only have we lost one of our own that's on our side, we lost a human being that is relatable to the other side as well. We're all trying to believe in one thing over another, and the problem is that a lot of people are going to be so fixated on the solution rather than what had happened.
Yeah.
And so they're all trying to make it so political. And I preached a message the other night where I pointed out that it's not a political thing anymore. It's a spiritual thing. The political part is just a mask.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And listen, it is going to happen. It's happening already. As soon as we got the news, we started seeing the blame game. And we started seeing the evil tweets from the media and from the left and from people that are trying to blame the president for what happened to Herman Cain. Herman Cain, he lived and he died exactly the way he wanted to. And that's a lesson we can all learn. We got to get out of here. 855-765-1045. We'll be back tomorrow with more tributes, more your calls, more your open mics. Stay tuned. Traffic, weather, news, and Rush Limbaugh. Come down next on 104.5 WOKV.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.